Sully thought of Malenfant getting in touch with himself, learning to like the inner Ronnie, and suppressed a shudder. All of Diefenbaker's fingers were held up in front of his face and poked out. To Sully, he looked like Al Jolson getting ready to sing Mammy. Diefenbaker seemed to become aware of this at the same time Sully did and lowered his hands. He looked tired and distracted and unhappy. "I like lots of people our age when they're one by one," he said. "But I loathe and despise my generation, Sully. We had an opportunity to change everything. We actually did. Instead, we settled for designer jeans, 2 tickets to Mariah Carey at Radio City Music Hall, frequent flyer miles, James Cameron's Titanic, and retirement portfolios. The only generation even close to us in pure selfish self-indulgence is the so-called lost generation of the 20s, and at least most of them had the decency to stay drunk. We couldn't even do that, man. We suck." The new lieutenant was close to tears, Sully saw. "Deef, you know the price of selling out the future, Sully John? You can never really leave the past. You can never get over. My thesis is that you're really not in New York at all. You're in the Delta, leaning back against a tree, stoned and rubbing bug dope on the back of your neck. Packer's still the man because it's still 1969. Everything you think of as your later life is a big fucking pot bubble. And it's better that way. Vietnam is better. That's why we stay there."
"You think?"
"Absolutely." A dark-haired, brown-eyed woman in a blue dress peeked around the corner and said, "So there you are." Diefenbaker stood up as she came toward them, walking slow and pretty on her high heels. Sully stood up, too. "Mary, this is John Sullivan. He served with me in PAGS. Sully, this is my good friend, Mary Teresa Carlton." "Pleased to meet you," Sully said and put out his hand. Her grip was firm and sure, long, cool fingers in his own, but she was looking at Diefenbaker. "Mrs. Pagano wants to see you, hon, please."
"You bet," Diefenbaker said. He started toward the front of the building, then turned back to Sully. "Hang in a little bit," he said. "We'll go for a drink. I promise not to preach." But his eyes shifted from Sully's when he said this, as if they knew. It was a promise he couldn't keep.
"Thanks, Lute, but I really ought to get back. I want to beat the rush hour traffic."